coffee.
So what, you only drink coffee when we do the podcast?
It's a ritual.
I admire your dedication, but I drink like 2 liters of energy drinks a day and coffee.
Yeah, man. After being told to quit caffeine for a while, after being told to reduce caffeine, and I went, reduce? You mean quit?
For like 12 months.
Yeah, he said to do it for 12 months. I did it for like 3 years. Almost 3 years. I think it was 2 years, 8 months.
I mean, that's good, because then like, if you're ever super tired, you just drink a coffee and you'll be raring all day.
Nope.
Oh, man.
Still doesn't work like that for me. Oh, I thought it would. Doesn't. Yeah. But yeah, like if it's freezing cold at Womenda Bakery, I'll get a coffee there.
Yeah.
This week I've had, maybe this will be my fourth coffee this week, compared to your, what, 80th?
No, I actually don't drink a lot of coffee. I think this is probably like my sixth this week.
But yeah, I only really get the coffee to warm my hands up. You know.
Why don't you just get like a tea or something?
They don't do tea at Womenda. Oh,
wow, yeah. Really?
They do hot chocolates. I could get a hot chocolate.
Chai lattes. Dirty chai lattes.
Dirty chai latte. I'm not a fan of chai, but I'll give it a go.
No, so
I wasn't a fan of oat milk. And
yeah, so chai lattes, like chai is tea, right? They just prepare it in a latte style. And then if you get a dirty chai, it's a chai latte with a shot of espresso.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's like coffee, but it's so sweet. No sugar. You don't need sugar.
I'll give it a go.
So fucking
sweet. I'm willing to try anything.
Josh. Sorry. That was...
Are we recording?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
We've been going for a minute 40. Josh. We sat down and watched a movie this week. What did we watch?
The House That Jack Built.
2018. Yeah. Pretty recent. For the other movies we've covered, it's decently recent.
Yeah, no, recent. I kind of thought it was like early thousands.
What is the synopsis?
In 5 episodes, failed architect and vicious sociopath, Jack, recounts his elaborate orchestrated murders, each as he views them. A towering work of art that defines his work as a serial killer in the Pacific Northwest.
Is that the movie you sat down and watched this week?
Kind of. I didn't know it was in the Pacific Northwest because I don't know America. But
yeah, but
for the most part, yeah, it's a guy telling a story of 5 murders in the way he sees them.
Absolutely. And I just, okay, so do we drop the ball? Do we just jump straight to the end?
No, let's...
Give me the director.
Yeah, let's we have a format
stats.
Here, bud.
Let's go over the stats.
So it's directed by Lars von Trier. Could be pronounced different, but I believe...
Trier.
Written by Lars von Trier. Starring Matt Dillon and Bruno Ganz.
For the record, I only put the 2 main characters in there because one of the women is Uma Thurman.
Yep.
But they have very small roles.
It's eccentric around... Yeah. It's very around him. So it cost $9.9 million to make... And it grossed $5.6 million.
Didn't make its money back,
Didn't make its money back, no. But...
It's a very art house film.
Yeah.
This
was like
population.
A Cannes Film Festival-esque sort of...
Funnily enough, it wasn't, but...
No, what to me, that was the feel. Okay, that was the feel, or a Absolutely. Streaming service. Absolutely. Like this was on a streaming service kind of thing, or a direct-to-DVD sort of effect.
Absolutely. I don't think it like had the... distribution behind but even then, it's a movie that the director wanted to make, and that's not going to resonate with everyone.
No, another passion project.
Absolutely,
it's a passion project.
Absolutely.
But I think with what I could see with the budget, it was definitely low budget. Like $10 million, that's low budget. You see slasher films these days with like fucking 15, 16, 18 million dollar budgets, and they even flop. But this, it's $4.3 million off its mark.
Yeah, which honestly is not that much. That's probably just the cost for Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
I want to jump into my talking points.
Yeah, all right, let's go.
Okay, so we have Matt Dillon's character, Jack, recounting his sophisticated murders. And from the very get-go... The opening scene is black. We hear some sloshing water. Prime Video didn't have subtitles, so...
No, it didn't.
Yeah, like, I watch everything with subtitles, so that first scene...
I got that
scene,
shotgun going on.
That first scene, I really couldn't understand what was happening. But they, it's one of those things where at the end of the movie, everything makes sense and they replay it.
Yeah.
And it kind of catches up with itself and then catches back up to present. I should have known from the name of the character Verge that it's fucking Virgil. Like, I was so annoyed because he goes, "Ah, Verge, come over here," or whatever. And, like, I was like, oh, I guess this is, like, a cop.
I was thinking priest.
A confessional?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, he was in a confessional and that sloshing thing was sounds in his mind of, like, maybe he wasn't actually in a confessional, but he was confessing to his priest as he died.
Fuck.
Like, I was thinking maybe, like...
Yeah, no, I didn't think about that. I thought he got caught by the cops and it was like... Because the Verge character sounds like a gruff detective to me.
Yeah, no, he does.
Also, perfect casting, sounds like a Orthodox priest.
Yeah.
Like, is the stereotypical old man Orthodox priest.
Yeah.
Fuck me. God, I love this movie. But I want to jump to the end. Because really, for the basis of the movie, I want to say 3/4 of it doesn't matter to the actual story that it's telling.
No, it doesn't.
This starts off as, you know, Jack recounting 5 random, quote-unquote, incidents throughout his murder spree.
He does mention he did kill more than 5 people. At a certain point, he tells one of his victims that he'd killed 60.
Yeah, and then she does, so 61.
He updates while talking to her. He goes, 61. She goes, but you just said 60. And he's like, what? You know, you think you can't update it?
Yeah, it can't change in a couple of minutes. Yeah. Fuck. So I want to warn everyone. This is a very, very art house movie.
Mm.
Very cerebral. Like, you really got to pay attention to this. Like, I've talked about junk food movies before on this podcast.
This is not a junk food movie. You have to think.
Yeah. This is a movie for specific people.
You don't necessarily have to piece everything together. It does give you all the information.
Oh, it...
But you need to pay attention to all the information to be able to get the full story. If you miss a bit,
absolutely.
Another word to warning is you need to dedicate some time to it. It is a long-running movie.
We were both
surprised by it, which is what gives it the art house feel.
Yeah.
Like, movies these days that are slasher films are like, all right, you can't run more than 1:59.
Yeah, absolutely.
2 hours, no one's going to watch it.
Yeah.
They've just gone, look, we want all this information in it.
Yeah.
So, 2.5 hours.
Absolutely. I think... just harping on that for 2 seconds, this, I know we keep saying the phrase, it's an art house movie, it's an art house movie, it's a passion project, but it really gives that feeling.
Yeah.
And I think that shows in the runtime because, like I said, 3/4 of it, if you just want to look at the story of the movie, A to B, 3/4 of it really doesn't matter, but it gets you attached to the main character.
Yeah.
It gets you understanding the mindset of Jack.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that way. But if you're just looking at the story of the movie from A to B, it's really not that important.
Yeah, and don't focus too much on the house if you watch it.
Oh, because, God, the house.
Yeah.
I think the house is the most important part.
Well, they don't... He starts off with, I want to build a house,
He's trying to build the perfect house.
Yeah, and then they forget about it for a bit, they don't mention it, and then they come back and Verge asks him, what about your house?
Wasn't Jack going to build a house?
Yeah, then they start delving more on it in the last, I don't know, maybe third of the movie.
No.
Maybe the last quarter. So, yeah, it's... If you want to know about the house, you got to watch the whole thing about the house.
Yeah. And this is definitely
He does build his house, though.
He definitely builds his house. What did you think of his house?
Minimalistic.
Yes.
I think he could have used better materials.
But the materials spoke to him.
Yeah.
That was the point. The material he chose to use.
And he did spend a long time cultivating the materials.
Absolutely. He spent, what he says, over the 12 years, I think.
I think 12 years.
Like, he at the start of the movie, he picks 5 random incidents over the span of 12 years.
Yeah.
So he definitely cultivated all of that material for a long time.
A lot of hard work, too.
Absolutely. By the end of it, it seemed pretty easy.
Yeah.
The main crux of this movie, though, is the adaptation of Dante's Inferno. Just a fucking...
I didn't get it till the end.
No, and that's why I'm so annoyed. I love Dante's Inferno. every adaptation, I've played the game.
That's what got me into it.
Yeah, I'm yet to finish the book.
I remember in high school when I was going to the same school as you, English, we read portions of Dante's Inferno. Inferno.
The Divine Comedy.
We read portions of it, but the modernization of it.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was like, books. Yeah. And then, I played the game, and I was like, wow, this is a cool game.
Yeah, which if you've also played, I think, God of War 1.
Yeah, delves into it a bit.
It delves into the idea of Dante's Inferno, but of course it's Greek mythology, so it's not very Dante's Inferno, but the process that Kratos goes through in the first game is the same process that Dante goes through.
What's the main character of Dante's Inferno?
Is it Virgil?
I think so.
I think it's Virgil.
But yeah, with this, it wasn't until the end.
Yeah, absolutely. So it came full circle for me.
For me, it was the moment he opened the door and Virg was in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that all
something sparked in my head, and I went, "He's an angel."
Well, Virgil isn't really an angel,
either way.
Yeah, I see what you mean. He's a otherworldly being.
Yeah, I was like, "Well, if he couldn't get into that room,
yeah,
how did he get in there? He's obviously something ethereal."
Yeah,
and then he's like, "Call me Virgil." I'm like, "Virgil."
Yeah, I know, right?
God's weapon keeper.
There's another thing. Take it two steps back. The door. So Jack has this freezer that he's storing all these dead bodies in.
Yeah.
That
he bought from a pizza guy.
He bought from a pizza guy, so it's stacked with pizzas. But there's this door with a red frame on it that he just can never get open.
Is it red around it? The whole thing has a red frame, doesn't it?
No, it's just red around the looking glass.
Yeah.
And it just goes into a black room.
Yeah, lights are off.
Yeah. So he's always trying to get this door open. And I think it's the perfect symbolization of like, yes, he's killing. Yes, he feels content when he kills. But there's always something just out of reach. And then the final scene where he's about to do his final experiment, his masterpiece, he finally gets a door open, never gets to complete it, and just leaves for the hells.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece. I can't explain it anymore. I did mention that I'm about 3/4 of the way through Dante's Inferno.
Yeah.
And I had to stop reading it about 2 years ago. I couldn't get through it, didn't have the discipline for it, but I still have the book, which I put on the table, and I have bookmarks.
This is a published by Penguin Classics.
Yeah, so they have the original, for all the cantos of the Divine Comedy, they have the original text, and then on the other page, they have the English translation. Don't lose that bookmark.
Is that Latin?
Yeah, I think so. It's like if you ever pick up a modernization of Shakespeare, on the left-hand page, they'll have the old English, and the right-hand page, they'll have the modern translation. Obviously, I can't read French, Latin, or whatever the fuck that is, so
I'm almost certain this is Latin.
Mm. But it's a fantastic publication, fantastic book to pick up, and I mean, in Australia, books are fucking dirt cheap. So go pick up Dante's Inferno. But I have bookmarked a page because once I'm showing Josh the map of the hells.
Yeah.
Once Jack actually goes to the hells, Virg does say to him, he brings him down to the lowest part of hell.
Just to show him.
Just to show him because he knows he wants to see everything.
Yeah.
And then tells him on the other side, there's a staircase back to Earth. But he has to climb through, and the final scene is him falling to the lowest part of hell.
There's a broken bridge. Yep. Verge says, on the other side, there's a stairway back. And Jack asks, can I climb around? And Verge is like, well, many have tried, but none have succeeded.
Yeah. And I legitimately thought he was going to succeed.
Yeah.
Because it's just that type of character. Yeah. But the reason I wanted to bring up the plan of hell is to specifically talk about, Virge says, this isn't where I'm meant to deliver you. Yeah. So we have watched the most sickest, sophisticated killer.
Mr. Sophistication.
Which is, what he calls himself. To the point where, he taxidermies children.
Yep. Makes them smile.
And in the lowest point of hell, That isn't where he's meant to be. That's not where Virgil's meant to deliver him. Obviously, that ends up being his fate, but Virgil is meant to deliver him to Circle 6, the heretics. And not even the lowest part of Circle 6, the highest part of Circle 6. Ring 1, violence against others in person, murder, or in property.
Huh.
Do you know what the three lowest points of hells are?
No.
Traitors to family, traitors to nation, and traitors to guest.
Holy shit.
So the most egregious sin you can commit is being a traitor to a guest. So you're in my house right now, and if I were to do something that would betray your trust, that reserves a spot for me personally in one of the three mouths of Satan.
Not murdering children, though.
Not murdering children and taxiderming them. That it's insane. Thieves are worse than murderers, according to Dante. It's one of those things where it's just so interesting. So, it's a fucking masterpiece. I can't get over how much I love this movie.
Well, at least, you know, corrupt officials are right down the bottom.
Yeah, that's true. Corrupt officials do get a very low spot in hell.
Pimps and seducers get high up on the rotten pockets.
Yeah, so there's a whole section of rotten pockets where I think it's Circle 7, Circle 8.
Yeah.
Should say up there somewhere. Doesn't matter. But there's pretty much three sins, and depending on the egregiousness of that sin is how low in the nine circles you get. But the bottom three are the literal mouths of Satan. I can't get over it.
So you got six individual circles towards the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then ring 1, 2, and 3 are part of circle 6, or are they part of circle 6?
They're part of circle 6.
Okay, and then so that's 6.
As far as I'm aware.
7, 8, 9. Okay. Well, that'll be... Wow. This is Greek? Or is it Catholicism?
I have no clue. I can't remember where, like, the mythical Dante grew up.
I
want to say Rome.
Yeah, Rome.
Yeah, Rome.
Yeah, so this would be like Crusade era. He's in the... Yeah. Wow. Holy shit. What was one of the thing that primarily gave it away for me that it was referencing, at least specifically at the end, Dante's Inferno, was the red cloak.
Yeah, so when Dante first enters hell...
Dante, Jack...
Well, no, according to the Divine Comedy, when Dante first enters hell, he's pretty much put in this red cloak.
Yeah.
And the way they tie that red cloak into the house that Jack built is he pretty much steals it off some dude.
Who's, quote-unquote, his best friend.
Yeah. So, betrayer.
Yeah.
He's a betrayer. Oh, he's a traitor.
Yeah.
Which, I've been watching a lot of... Umbrella Academy. We just finished the new season of Umbrella Academy. So I'm not entirely sure if it's from that or from the house that Jack built, but I want to say that Jack almost considers this guy family.
Yeah, maybe.
Like,
maybe not. He did lie to him.
That's
true. Maybe as a liar, yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, well, so Jack murders 61 people as far as we know, maybe more.
Oh, definitely more by that point.
And he was a traitor to one of his most personal friends.
Yeah.
And he's still not reserved a spot in the lowest part of hell, but falls there anyway.
Yeah.
So did he deserve it?
Yep.
I can't disagree with
maybe,
you.
Maybe that's why it's called a divine comedy.
Yeah.
Because he gets to the end where Virgil says, "You can go back. You just got to get across." Not exactly those words, but he tells him, you can go back, you just have to get across. Yeah. No one has before, and he goes, I could do it.
Absolutely.
And then he fails.
Yeah.
His own hubris. He thinks he can succeed because at the start, you find out that he has OCD with a cleaning compulsion.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, as he kills, it gets better and better. He no longer has it.
Yeah.
And he even says, I started taking bigger risks and getting sloppier, and he still didn't get caught.
Yeah, and it's almost comical how he doesn't get caught.
And then his quote unquote best friend says that they've called the cops because he robbed someone, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He's wanted for a robbery as a thief, which is low.
Whoa, okay, yeah.
And he knows he hasn't stolen anything, and he lies to him. He goes, oh, no, if only someone, oh, I'm glad it was you that got me for, you know, taking robbing, things that don't belong to me. He's taking people's lives.
Yeah.
And he knows he's not a thief, and he knows that the cops aren't after him because he doesn't leave a trace.
Shit.
So it's this, like you said, it's comedical how he doesn't get caught.
Yeah. Even to the point of, I think it's incident 2 or 3, or maybe incident 1. No, 2 or 3, where he talks his way into that woman's house.
Two.
And to escape the cop that is now in her house, and he's like...
Drags the body behind his fucking car.
Drags the body all the way home.
And then he looks back.
Leaving a massive trail of blood. But him as the voiceover is saying, I don't know if it was... you know, chance or luck, I choose to think I'm being protected by a higher power. It's the heaviest rain that city has seen,
yeah,
and it washes away the evidence.
Gone.
It's, again, it's almost comical.
It's a modernization of, well, we figured it out. It's a modernization of Dante's Inferno.
Yeah. So before we realized it was Dante's Inferno, or an allegory for Dante's Inferno, did you think this was a case of unreliable narration, or was he being completely trustworthy because he has no reason to lie?
I think he had no reason to lie. He's a sociopath.
Right, but...
And you see throughout the movie multiple times, he goes, yes, I really did kill all those people.
But you also have Verge saying that, like, these might be random incidents that you're pulling, but why are all the women dumb?
Yeah.
They're legit stupid.
Again, like it says in the thing, it says that it's the way he sees it. And Verge even says this, you see yourself, you know, better than women, smarter than women.
Yeah.
So he's probably chosen these specific incidents because these are the ones that were easiest for him. Maybe he had the most fun doing. Or they just made him look better, made him look smarter,
yeah,
you know, as
true.
A way
that's
to
true.
Brag of, ha ha ha, look at me, I am the best serial killer ever because I, you know, I outsmarted all these people. Here are 5 quote unquote random incidents to prove that I'm smarter. Like, he kidnaps a dude, but he does it at gunpoint.
Yeah.
So,
for the final experiment.
Yeah. Like, so he had to use, like, fear of instant death.
Yeah.
For men. He probably knew he could be overpowered by some of these people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, but women, he thought,
yeah,
I'm amazing. I mean, one of the most striking incidents that hit me, and like, I could not walk into a dark room afterwards, not because of the killing, but what comes next, is the hunting trip that he takes with the family.
Gotta wear the red hats for safety.
Yeah, which, why would you not take them off?
For safety.
So he takes this family, a mother and 2 kids, on a hunting trip. And at the start, he
teaching them all about the gun.
Yeah, teaching them about hunting trips. Teaching them about, you know, being almost a dad as much as a sociopath can be.
It was literally gun safety. You don't do this. Yeah. You always aim for the head. Or you know,
the vital points.
Yeah, vital points. You know, he gets the kid to shoot.
Yeah. And like, it's almost... And he brings this up as... I did have a family once.
Yeah.
This was my family. But I don't know how long that relationship lasted.
I don't even know if they're his kids.
I don't think they're his kids. Traitors to family.
Yeah, I don't think they're his kids.
Yeah. I'm... Well, actually... Actually, here's a thought that popped into my head. What if they're... He tells Verge... These are the people I considered family. And then talks about how he murders them. What if Verge was actually meant to deliver him at the bottom?
But it was a choice.
But it was the choice. Like, he had to make the choice.
You could go to the bottom. Yeah. Or you could go to a lesser circle up there.
Yeah.
And his own hubris. His own...
Oh, Verge uses his own hubris to essentially deliver him where he's meant to be. fuck, I love this podcast. I love doing this podcast because I'm constantly thinking about the movie, constantly working out how each little cog moves. Man, I love this shit.
It's good.
So yeah, again, like, I can't... Ah, I love this movie. I love this movie.
It's good.
It is a
good
movie.
I felt it dragged.
Oh, absolutely.
Not in the sense of it took ages to get to the point, but in the sense of it ran too long for my liking.
Mm.
But that just could be because I'm from, you know, I'm used to movies these days. I'm used to the, you know, less than 2 hour runtime movies where you can sit there and just go, all right, cool. All right, cool.
Where you can just watch it.
Yeah, whereas I needed to get the information to be able to piece the story together.
Mm, absolutely. I just want to take a step back because I got off track when I was saying why, like, that incident, that hunting incident scared me the most. Yeah. So he obviously massacres his family gruesomely. Yeah. He blows the kneecap off the elder child and then puts him down. The mum runs up to go, like, my kid's just died. So then he kills the other kid and then forces the mum to have a picnic with them.
Yeah.
And then when it's finally done, what's your favorite number? And then just starts counting to 12, which is her favorite number. And then at 12, hunts her. After that, he takes everyone back to the freezer and attempts to taxidermy the child in a smiling, waving position.
He says something about that a good taxidermist could make an animal look realistic by replicating natural... facial expressions.
Yep.
And he does so to the first child he killed, one with the leg.
It is
the creepiest fucking smile I've ever seen.
Oh yeah,
one smiles like that.
It is an ear to ear grin, one eye's bulging out of the other, the other's either missing or closed, and he's in a waving position. It is the most creepiest fucking thing I've seen.
And you see it twice in the background.
Yeah.
And not like far away in the background, like the camera's close to Jack and the child's like on his right or left shoulder. You're like, oh no.
Yeah. There's one scene where it's the cameraman is obviously in the freezer with all the props and shit and he's spinning. But every now and again you can glimpse that kid and he's just standing there waving.
That was the only scene I looked away at.
As in like
the spinning, because of the spinning.
You got vertigo.
Yeah. It started spinning. I was like, all right, cool. And then it kept going and I'm like, I'm about to pass out.
Yeah, it goes for a while.
I could see the black coming. I'm like, I've got to look away.
Yeah, it goes for a while.
How long did it go for? About what? 15 seconds?
Oh, less than that. Probably like 10.
Yeah, cool.
Like it, there was also no talking or voiceover. Just the scene of spinning. Yeah. Like it was long for a scene of that type. Do you want to know what the critics thought of this movie?
You hit me.
Well, okay. Here's the critic consensus from Rotten Tomatoes. Going to do things a little bit out of order. The house that Jack built presents writer-director Lars von Trier at his most proudly uncompromising, hard to ignore, and for many viewers, just as difficult to digest.
Yeah, I can agree with difficult to digest because we are fucking ripping this thing apart and we're finding more and more things that could be...
Oh, yeah. Like, it's one of those movies where you have to think... Like, again, I watched it 12 hours ago and I can't get this fucking movie out of my head. I'm constantly thinking about it. And then I know next weekend when we sit down to watch the next movie, I'm still going to be thinking about this movie. I'm going to make my girlfriend watch it and watch it for a second time. But what do you think the critics' rating for this score is?
After that, I'm going to say it got a rotten 43.
43? It's a fresh 60. Yeah. Like, majority of reviewers liked it. But again, it's not for everyone.
That was critics, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, 43. I thought 43 critics. Wow, I'm actually quite surprised about that because of that. Because of the consensus, I thought it'd be a rotten.
Absolutely.
I'm going to say audience, maybe a bit lower because of the runtime. Lower than 60, I mean. I'm going to say about a 52.
64.
Ooh.
Liked it more than the critics. And that's with 1,000 plus ratings.
Oh, okay.
So, again, this is... It's one of those movies where I don't think... You have to be into movies to, like, remember this was a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is...
It came out 4 years ago.
Yeah, but I think it went way under the radar. Not a lot of people watched it.
I think it was a direct-to-DVD sort of situation, maybe streaming services.
I mean, I watched it on Prime Video.
Yeah.
Prime
wasn't around 4 years ago, was it?
I don't think so. Apparently, it's also on Hulu. You can rent it or buy from Prime and rent it or buy from Apple TV. That's what I like about Rotten Tomatoes. They tell you where you can find it as well. What do you think about the IMDb, though?
They're harsher, so I'm going to say...
They are harsher.
They do points, right?
They do points. And the decimal points is...
5.3?
You know. 5.3?
Yeah.
6.8.
I was close at that time. Getting there.
It's better than the audience score for Rotten Tomatoes.
They're okay. Are they sick?
IMDb?
Yeah.
Absolutely. They're crazy people. I'm never going to... the people that review for IMDb, I am never going to, like...
Understand them.
Yeah, it's, like, bad movies, it's fucking high. Good movies, it's fucking low. But then every odd movie, it'll fucking surprise you.
Yeah. Yeah, like... I expected IMDb to be like, no!
Yeah.
Bad!
So, being a 60% critic consensus... There are a lot of rotten reviews.
Yeah.
So let's go with David Stratton from The Australian.
Fuck yeah.
He's a top critic for Rotten Tomatoes. The violence in the house that Jack built is horrific. You've been warned.
Yeah.
Why? But he gave it a 1 out of 5.
Like,
just for the violence?
We both hadn't seen this movie prior, right?
No. I knew it existed, but I'd never... I thought it was literally just a dude confessing to a cop. That's all I thought it was.
Yeah. Like, if I was to... I will recommend this to people, but I'll say to them, look, there are some things in here that are quite, you know, a bit horrific. Depending on the person. Like, I know I got a lot of friends that are cool with, you know, child murder. They get mods on Skyrim where they can murder kid children. But
are they okay?
I think so. But I'll tell them, look, the biggest thing for me that I didn't like about the movie was the runtime. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can sit for 2.5 hours watching a movie, watch it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just want to talk about the critic consensus here. I'm looking at, like, the, you know, critic reviews for the House of Jack Built. Most of the bad ones just have a problem with the violence. Here's another one by Michael Phillips, Chicago Tribune. It may be the dullest film about serial killers in the history of dull movies about serial killers.
What, they think fucking serial killers are fun people?
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, they're methodological. They're methodic. They plan things out to the T so they can get away with things. Of course.
Absolutely.
Just the... It wasn't a movie about glorifying a fucking serial killer.
It was just a serial killer telling his story
through
the walk to hell.
It's not a fucking, you know, the movie about Charles Manson or, you know, Zodiac killer.
Is everyone forgetting that he's going to hell? He's being punished.
Yeah.
He will be punished. And since he's in the wrong ring, he'll be punished even more. Here's another one by David Fear, the Rolling Stone. There are two sadists here. One of them happens to be on screen.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's good.
Yeah.
That was a compliment.
Being called a sadist is a compliment for you?
Not necessarily, but I just mean, like, to the movie. It was a compliment to the movie.
That's fair.
Because if he's saying that one of the sadists in that is the actor, is the character, then did a good job.
Absolutely.
I am a firm believer, if you hate a character on screen because of the way they're acting, because, like, Joffrey.
Yeah. That's
everyone hated Joffrey.
That's always a good...
Because the guy who played Joffrey did a fucking phenomenal job playing Joffrey.
Absolutely.
You don't hate the actor. Hell, a lot of people hate the actor.
Yeah.
Because they can't separate... But
if you hate the actor for a character that they've played, you're fucking silly.
But for me, it happens with video games as well. There's a lot of characters in video games that I hate because the voice actor does such a good job.
Oh, yeah.
And they convey the emotion. They're like, oh, my little bitch. It's like, I fucking hate you.
Yeah.
When I have a choice to kill you, Caden, or Ashley, I'm killing you. Fuck you, Caden.
All right, I've got to ask. What game?
Mass Effect. Recommend.
Recommend. I haven't played Mass Effect.
That's good.
Pretty much if it came out during the Xbox 360 days and was on it's Xbox on 360, I haven't played it.
It's on PC.
Yeah.
Good year.
I also haven't played Halo.
It's on PC. Give it a go. But yeah, if I had to rate this movie, okay, if someone said, fucking tell me this movie, you know, IMDb came up to me and said, look, you are the only person that matters. Everything else is going to be scrapped.
We want your specific rating.
What would it be? I'd sit there. I'd sip my coffee. I'd just go. And I'd say to them, $1 million and I'd do it. And then hand me the $1 million and I'd say, 7.
Given a lot of 7s. Why 7 though?
Because I didn't want to give it a 10. Honestly, it'd be... I don't like thinking.
Okay.
Wasn't a lot of it. They fucking hand you every breadcrumb along the way.
By the end of the movie, you're not doing a lot of thinking.
But I had to pay attention to every little detail because it draws you in.
Yeah.
It draws you in.
Yeah.
I love that. But it was annoying that it kept drawing me in.
Yeah.
I paused it to have a sneezing fit. Normally, I wouldn't pause a movie for a sneezing fit.
Because you didn't want to miss anything?
Because I didn't want to miss a detail.
Yeah. Like, I had a bag of chips. I had to stop eating them real quick.
Yeah.
I couldn't read the subtitles. Yeah. There were no subtitles, so I had to fucking listen.
So, yeah. You know what? Fuck it. I'll up it to 7.9.
7.9?
Yeah, I'll up it to 7.9. The only reason that instead of an 8, because I was going to change it to an 8. 7.9. I didn't like the long run time. That's the only...
Yeah, that's fair.
It did look like it was filmed with older... For 2018, older cameras, but that's not a problem for me.
Very, very quickly, I want to talk about just the camera work in this. I'm upset that I didn't talk about it sooner.
It's running down the alleyway.
It's filmed like a documentary.
Yeah, it is.
I think that idea is fucking phenomenal.
That scene where I believe he's running from his car that he crashed to the trailer.
Yeah.
And the camera is like waving side to side. Yeah. He's having
the cameraman's running next to him.
He's actually running. The sound you hear is actually the cameraman's body movements.
Yeah.
And they keep that in as if it's Jack's body movements.
Yeah.
Rather than I was like, Jack's not wearing clothes that make that sound. Like, he's wearing like overalls.
Yeah.
Overalls don't make a quick, 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 quick sound. They make a sound because it's cloth.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like, again, this is recounting the tale of it.
Yeah.
And Virgil's along for the ride. Virgil is the audience.
He's telling a story and it's like Virgil's visualizing it as the camera. Yeah. You know, that scene where he spins around. It's like, oh, it's spinning around. So the cameraman's got to spin around. Poor bastard.
Poor bastard. You reckon they just set it up on a dolly or something?
Definitely. Yeah. They just chucked it on something and went, woo!
No, they just put him on like a fucking
chair.
Lazy Susan and just fucking spun him really hard. So 7.9, you reckon?
Yeah, 7.9.
All right. So I want to take my ratings a little bit more seriously going forward. I've discussed my process for rating. It's pretty much a 5 is a decent movie. It's an okay movie. It's an average movie. Anywhere from 1 to 5 is how much I would not recommend it to someone.
Yeah.
And then from 5 to 10 is how much I would recommend it to someone.
I've already recommended this to people.
Who?
Muppet.
Oh, right, okay.
I told Muppet that I enjoyed it, and I told my mother-in-law, but she told me she's not going to sit down for 2.5 hours and watch the fucking movie.
Yeah, that's one of the big problems.
Yeah.
So, although I like this movie, 10 out of 10, easy, I like this movie, I have to go with my scale of how much I would recommend it to someone. And I think that is a 6.5.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, I would not recommend this movie to everyone I know. But obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you enjoy film, this is definitely for you.
Yeah.
But people in my day-to-day life, I wouldn't recommend this.
Even though you've been thinking about it for 12 hours.
Exactly. Because I fucking am in love with the movie. I think it's a fantastic movie. But for the average person to sit down and watch a 2.5 hour movie that doesn't really care about Dante's Inferno, doesn't understand the analogies behind it, or the, you know, divinity of Jack, I can't recommend it to them.
You know who I would like to recommend this to? Hopefully she listens to the podcast. Lex.
Lex.
Alex.
Oh.
We've spoken a few times about Dante's, not specifically Dante's Inferno, but we have, like, you know, we've spoken about Greek mythology and shit like that, me and her.
Yeah,
conversations. I reckon she'd enjoy this movie because of the correlation with Dante's Inferno.
Oh, probably.
So, Alex, when this comes out, yeah. If you haven't watched the movie or you don't mention that you're going to watch the movie, well, no, you're not listening.
Oh, no, right?
This is
even if your Discord quotes are quotes from this podcast, we know you don't listen.
Yeah, how dare you?
I think that's where we go, bro.
Yeah, man.
I think that's where I bring in the outro music. I thank you for joining down, sitting me, listening to me rant.
Joining
about
down, sitting on you.
Yep. I just appreciate the fact that I get to sit down every week with my best mates and gush about Dante's Inferno. But because we take turns, Josh. Oh my god. I skipped the most important part.
Yeah. That's why I'm looking at you confused.
Oh, no. Josh, yeah. I've got to ask you the very important question. The whole point of the show.
Yeah. What the fuck, man? You're
does right? This movie make the cut?
Yeah.
Put it on the golden record. Send it to space.
No, let's not go that far.
No. Send it to space.
No, because there's enough trash out there.
Yeah, that's true. I absolutely agree. This makes the cut. I think... if you listen to this podcast, this movie's for you.
Yeah.
If you enjoy film, cinematography, direction, style, writing, this movie is for you. Yeah. Every word spoken is important.
Yeah. Maybe skip the murder of Simple. That didn't really add much, but...
I don't really want to talk about Simple. Baby. No, because he's coin purse.
Yeah, nice coin purse.
Oh, that!
If you want to know any more, you have to watch the movie.
Yeah, that's a thing we can leave it on. Yeah, if you want to know what happened to Simple, you can fucking watch the movie.
Yeah,
but Josh, since we take turns, it's your turn next week.
Yeah,
and you're very good about, like, I don't care what the fuck Ryan wants to watch. I already know my next movie.
Yeah,
what's the next movie we're watching?
Okay, now because we're Australian, we pronounce things horribly. It is R, not a pirate movie. The letter R, 3 times. It's on Netflix. Unfortunately, Netflix only has it in Hindi, so the translation is a little off, but you can't get it in its natural language in our country.
Okay.
But yeah, I've seen it fucking everywhere. I think it's a long runtime, but I've seen it everywhere, and people are saying it's absolutely amazing. So yeah. We're getting into a Bollywood Tollywood film.
I hate you.
You'll enjoy it.
Really? You reckon?
I've been watching...
I really dislike Indian film.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos and listening to a couple other podcasts that you know, talk about movies. Mm. Corridor Crew, all that sort of stuff, VFX, Artists React. And much like you said... if you have similar interests and stuff, and they say things, and they put you onto it, and you relate.
Okay, okay.
They have they've led me astray a few times, but not all that often. Yeah, right? I thought I'll give it a go, and then it hit me. I was like, well, if I'm gonna watch it,
might as well do it.
As well watch it for the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
That way, I can actually tell people about it, what I feel about it. But everyone's given it rave reviews. Unfortunately, I tried to find it in the cinemas here so we could go together and watch it in the cinema. It's not. There are a couple at Ed Square, but they're not RR.
Well, yeah, I mean, our local cinema pretty much does, like, they have been bringing in a lot of Indian movies, but it's pretty much one late night session.
Yeah.
So.
And we work full time jobs, we can't go late night.
Yeah, no. And I'm also
but yeah, broke. So RRR.
RRR.
Yep, the letter R3, it stands for something, but I can't remember what.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If you Google RRR, you'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's
cool.
On Netflix.
That was episode...
I've lost count.
Yeah.
We're fucking rolling.
We're past 10. This would be episode 11.
No, because I did 12. I edited 12.
No.
Yeah.
We've only had 8 releases, dude.
You told me in the thingy. I'm literally finished. You're like, this is episode 12. Look, we've lost count, okay?
Oh, we've got a backlog.
Campbelltown edufucking-cation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, whatever episode number this is, look at the fucking the numbers at the bottom.
It'll be in the title.
Yeah, it'll be in the title.
Okay, thank you very much for joining What Makes the Cut. I've been Ryan.
I'm Josh.
Unfortunately.
Don't blame me. My mum named me.
And I hope you go watch our backlog. Probably start from episode 3. That's where the sound quality gets good.
No, start from episode 1. Because much like art, you can see the progression.